The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Hard to believe it's the fourth day of June already. My goodness, time flies. Well, happy summer and happy June to everybody. I have one special guest with me this morning. Joining me on the phone from Los Angeles is going to be Jackie Stay, who's the Vice President of Programming at High Times Media. Jackie Stagg serves as the VP of Programming, like I said, at High Times Media, leading the charge on the mainstreaming of cannabis content with a particular focus on new media, and recently launched the High Times Women's Console. And High Times is the High Times magazine that's been around for, God, over 25, 30 years, talking about cannabis and its benefits. We'll be talking about High Times again, the pioneering marijuana media company that brought its two-day cannabis festival back to Sonoma County Fairgrounds this past weekend and making local history in the process. The Marijuana Art and Culture Festival that happened in Santa Rosa was the second pot event in the nation, allowing anyone age 21 or older to buy or consume marijuana on site, according to High Times. Wow, the times they are changing. In fact, one of the songs I'm going to play for the musical break is "The Times Are Changing," because they definitely are. When you see how far marijuana has come, cannabis actually has come, and actually, when you walk around and you talk to some of the vendors there, you see how much healing is available to people. Just amazing. Some of the high points I brought from the cannabis event, which Ken and I attended this weekend on Sunday, it was just amazing. Everybody was so mellow. I wonder why. And some of the most funniest things, you know, when you talk to people, some of the most funniest ideas come up. My friend Zoe came up with the idea. She wants to start a place called Granny's Joint, where women can come and, you know, sit around and just relax, talk to each other, have conversation, watch a movie, do all kinds of things. But I just think it's kind of funny, Granny's Joint. That's kind of interesting, especially someone like myself who's going to be becoming a great granny. Also, we stopped by, there was a gentleman by the name of Okie Joe. I just wonder it. I said to him, "How did you get your name, Okie Joe?" He says, "Every time someone asks me to say something, I just say, okay, and his name is Joe, so okay, Joe." And he was selling seeds here, and it was just amazing, all the people coming by and talking about how to plant, what to do, where to go. I mean, the times, like I said, they are a-changing. But the best thing that I saw there was, and it just shows that marijuana takes care of all species on the planet, is they had a little pet. It's for CBDs for pet to calm them down if they have problems, like if they're in the car, or, you know, sometimes they get anxious. So I just thought it was a wonderful, wonderful event, and I'm really going to be happy to be talking with Jackie Stagg from High Times, and she's going to give us a report and an overview of what's happening with women in the cannabis industry, which is very, very, very interesting to me. Well, as you know, this weekend I have announced it several times. We had the Andy Lopez dedication, the park dedication, Andy's Unity Park. What an amazing event it was. You know, and it was kind of a bittersweet thing for me because I was so excited to see, you know, here we have Andy's Unity Park. It's a park that developed by the community coming together and saying, we want a park. We want to remember this young boy. We want to remember, never forget the incident that happened, but at the same time, provide something for children to have a great, great place to go. And I was just amazed. I was just amazed at the layout. The most impressive thing was, you know, Ken and I were in Germany about 4 years ago. Excuse me, allergy time. Ken and I were in Germany about 4 years ago. And one of the things that was very interesting to me is that we found that they had these little plots where people could rent and they could do their own organic gardening. Plus, they had a little facility so they could stay overnight, maybe one or two nights a year. But basically, it was meant just to have a little plot so everybody could do a garden. Well, they have that same thing in Andy's Unity Park, where they have little plots where people can come and they can do community gardening, they can do their own gardening, and it's another way of socializing. It was an amazing event, and I think I need to do a few shout outs here. First of all, I want to do a shout out to Mr. Greg Serris, Serris, from the Grayton Resort and Casino in Rohnert Park. Not only did he do a marvelous open prayer. If they're listening to me out there, I've been trying to get the transcript of the prayer to read over the air. But also, he provided the most wonderful food. I mean, it was just, I couldn't believe the energy that went into just serving the food and how excellent it was. So again, a special shout out to Mr. Greg Serris from the Grayton Resort and Casino. An amazing man. Another shout I'd like to do is our supervisor from the I believe it's the 5th District, Linda Hopkins came out and spoke. And I was talking to some of the folks that were listening, and they were so touched because for the first time since young Andy Lopez was shot on October 22nd, 2013, we heard some sort of empathy. And what Supervisor Hopkins had to say, as a mother, you know, she looked at Andy Lopez's mother, and she says, as a mother of two children, she says, I am so sorry that this happened. And it was just the idea of it. Several people that I talked to actually started to cry when they heard that, because it was an acknowledgement of what a horrific thing happened in our community with Andy Lopez. I mean, it's just amazing. So I want to remind folks of what happened, because you have a beautiful park there. You have all these wonderful dedications. You have a beautiful memorial to him. Whoever did the sculpture is just amazing. You should go down. It's on Westmoreland and Los Rublos Road. You should just go see the park. They have a skateboard. They have the gardens. They have a stage. I mean, it's just amazing what can happen when a community comes together and persist and does not give up. I mean, I was there. I was there through a lot of the council meetings, a lot of the task force meetings, and I know how persistent we had to be to get some of the things to happen the way they happen. And I just want to do a shout out to the community, because it was just amazing. And Andy's mother was there, and his father, and also his brother and sister. And again, our condolences. What a horrible thing to have happened to this young boy, to this family. But at the same time, that's what's so bittersweet about it. You know, you look at the horror that happened, but at the same time, you look at this beautiful park that evolved out of that tragedy. So a special shout out to the Parks and Recreation. They did a fabulous job. They were there. They had the park rangers there making sure everybody knew where they were going, making sure they had proper seating. I mean, it was a very, very well organized event. And also what happened at the event, which I thought was stunning, is that they called up all the folks on the stage who actually worked so hard to make this happen. You know, I was very much involved, and I know I went to every meeting, spoke every time. We went to all the task force meetings. We went to the Board of Supervisors meeting. And then you had this group that was developing the park that went to all the meetings. And just a special shout out to all of them, because none of this could have happened if it were not for the community persisting. And folks, it's not over. It is not over. Today or tomorrow, we are hoping to hear whether the Supreme Court or not has taken on the issue of the Andy Lopez shooting. So we'll see what happens there. I have my fingers crossed that it just goes, if they say no, we've already got three opinions from the Ninth Circuit Court, let's just move forward. And I hope that happens so we can get this out, just make the settlement or go to trial or do something to seek justice for this young person's life. So there's a lot to think about, a lot going on. But once again, thank you, everybody, for came and celebrated this beautiful, beautiful park. Well, that's a lot to think about, that's for sure. You know, you can tell that I'm pretty passionate about it. I mean, I've been involved with this, what, it's going to be October 22nd. It will be 5 years. I mean, my God, time goes by so fast, you never realize it, but it is going by very quickly. Well, tomorrow's a big day. Tomorrow's a big day. We all go to the polls and we vote. You know, those of us who have mail-in ballots, I hope you go to the voters registration at 435 Fiscal Drive in Santa Rosa and drop off your ballot. Do it today, or at least in the morning tomorrow. Don't wait to go to the polls. Go to the voters registration office, because then you know that their vote is going to be counted on that day. If you have any questions, give them a call at 707-565-6800. Well, there's a lot to think about and a lot to talk about. So we're going to take a musical break now, and the song that I'm going to be playing is The Ones Who Have Gone Before Us, sung by Bev Grant. The song is, I believe, is a 4 or 5 minute song, and I'm gonna let most of the song play because I think it's very important that we acknowledge those people who put the energy out there, who have walked to help get a new sheriff elected here in Sonoma County, people who have worked together to develop the Andy's Unity Park. I mean, people were met for months to make sure that happened. And also all the folks before us that helped lay some of the laws. You know, in 2020, it's going to be 100 years since women actually got the vote. I mean, thinking of all those women that were standing on their shoulders of all the things they have done. So this is a very important song to me, The Ones Who Have Gone Before Us. And in light of my guest, we'll be talking about what I thought is important to think about, all those who struggled and suffered to get us where we are with the marijuana laws. I mean, how many young people have been in prison that have felonies, etc.? I can go on and on about it. I mean, it's amazing that we have come to this place in our time. And the most interesting thing is to remember, always to remember, how many people were persisting and pushing and making it available and bringing out the truth. This is a simple plant that has so much healing capacity that is amazing. So after we hear the song, when we come back, we will be talking with Jackie Stagg, who serves as the VP of Programming at High Times Media and leading the charge on the mainstream of cannabis content with a particular focus on new media, and recently launched the High Times Women Console. So here we are. Let's go listen to The Ones Who Have Gone Before Us, sung by Bev Grant.
We reach the edge of an opening, a breaking through, and we know the situation calls for something new. There are times we cannot see what's just ahead, but still we know there is a life to be led, a path to follow, and we must go, and we must go. When we make it through. there are times the burden's heavier than we can bear, but we hold on, 'cause we know there is a task at hand that must be done. There are times our worries build up and start to shake us, threaten to break us, till we remember it's only struggling through that will remake us.
A special thank you to High Times Magazine for helping us to make it through. Well, for you joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. Without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. On the telephone with me is Jackie Stagg, the Vice President of Programming for High Times Media. Welcome, Jackie. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Howdy. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm just so thrilled. You know, this was so spontaneous, and I want to thank Jan from your organization for helping to organize this. Well, before we begin, Jackie, I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Oh, sure.
Jackie Stagg serves as the Vice President of Programming at High Times Media, heading the charge on the maintaining of cannabis content with a particular focus on new media and female-driven content. We got to talk about that, Jackie, female-driven contact. Jackie hails from New England and Texas, where she spent most of her formative years and where cannabis was stigmatized but omnipresent. That's what's so interesting about it. Stigmatized, but still, it's so available. In Houston, she built a successful career in nonprofit grant writing and event planning, raising millions of dollars and putting work thousands in underserved communities in East Texas. Jackie has worked as an award-winning producer for Bulletproof Nutrition and most recently launched the High Times Women's Council. She hosts the High Times Green Room podcast, a long-form interview studio project designed to tell insider stories about cannabis culture, the stories most people never get to hear until now. Well, welcome, Jackie, once again to Women's Spaces. Is there anything that you would like to add?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. That was very generous. Thank you. We're just happy to be here.
Well, you know, I'm happy to see how it has progressed. I mean, we were at the festival yesterday, and it was amazing to see all these young people with all the new products they have and all the different conversations people are having about health, about welfare. It was an amazing experience for me. So what I'd like you to do when we start the interview out, because High Times has been such a such an instrument of information for most people in the cannabis industry. Can you give us a little background, a little history of High Times and how you got involved and some of the challenges that they have met over the years?
Oh, sure, of course. So High Times is the original cannabis-related media brand, of course, in the space. We are 43 years young and have been a trailblazer ever since. We started doing cannabis-related events and, of course, the magazine. And sky's the limit, really, in terms of what we have contributed to the space. So we've been around. We've seen a lot. And we have an extremely rich history, not only internally but externally, and a vast library of history of the cannabis space, the war on drugs, what the culture was like in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. In terms of challenges, to be quite honest, the biggest challenge has always been the war on drugs, or as we like to call it, the failed war on drugs. The magazine started in 73 by Tom Fersad and was a really special piece of content with brilliant writers and minds coming together talking about the counterculture movement and the legalization of cannabis, but other substances as well. And then, of course, in the 80s and 90s, it sort of took a turn. And so, you know, of course, there were challenges in terms of the war on drugs, but, you know, we persevered and we still do today, and it's just one foot in front of the other towards legalization of cannabis.
Well, you know, what's so interesting to me, I've always had this big question mark in my mind about High Times, and that was how they were able to stay in operation when it was legal. You know, how were they able to do that, you know?
Well, so we're a media brand. We don't touch the plant, right? So at the end of the day, it is freedom of speech.
Ah.
Right, so we are reporting on what we see, what we experience in print, and now, of course, digitally, and we don't touch the plant. So that's how we've lasted so long, but not just that, but there's been a lot of very strong personalities and a lot of heart behind what we've been doing for 43 years, and so perseverance is the other big part of that.
Well, we talked a little bit at the beginning of the show about so many things that have gone on here in our community, and that the big secret is perseverance. Keep moving forward with what you believe in, and eventually it starts to happen. So thank you for sharing that little bit of history. So how do you feel things are changing today? I mean, it was amazing watching people walking around, you know, as if it was like a cigarette to me. You know, it was just watching people partake and enjoy themselves. It was a very interesting moment for me yesterday. So talk a little bit about some of the changes that have happening around cannabis and how so many people are able to come out with these products and talk about them.
Sure. Well, I could talk about that for days, right? But for the for the sake of the Cannabis Cup, what you attended last weekend in Sonoma, the Cannabis Cup was started in Amsterdam. We've been throwing them for 30 years. It started literally as a group of connoisseurs and aficionados coming together in a small space and laying all their products out on a table and testing each other's and the judging celebrating one another for your work and then for their work. And then it's turned into over 30 years what you experienced over the weekend with thousands and thousands of people coming to celebrate their different cannabis products and hundreds of vendors bringing their old and new products to the table for people to check out. And then, of course, we've added the music element. Phil Lesh and Friends played over the weekend and Blues Traveler yesterday. So it's obviously grown in size. And I don't know necessarily that the amount of that consumerism has changed necessarily. It's just more out in the open, so to speak. So, this event we threw, the Cannabis Cup we threw over the weekend was the second ever legal recreational cannabis event ever in the history of the world, in America at least. And the first one was ours as well, back in Sacramento. And so people are obviously more comfortable coming out and expressing their interest in the plant, whether it be smoking it or using it topically or using it medicinally. And so it's sort of like a coming out party, if you will, of people not being afraid anymore because of the legalization, especially in California. And it really just changes geographically, where you go and how legal it is, depending on what state you're in.
Well, also, it must be a moment for High Times, knowing here they've been, available. This information has been available to the public for 43 years, and like you said, they didn't touch the plant, so it was all about free speech. It must be a delightful feeling to see all this happening in front of your eyes.
Oh, it's what, not me specifically, but what thousands of people and hundreds behind High Times have been working for decades. And that's a big part of our heritage as well, as honoring the people who came before us and the blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into destigmatizing cannabis and making it federally legal eventually. So it's wonderful to watch, trust me. And yet we're lucky in that we're in California. You go back to even a place in New York where it is medically legal but still massively stigmatized. You can't openly walk around the streets and enjoy your cannabis products. So we still have a long way to go, but we have come so far, and it's really wonderful to see. Absolutely.
I know. And also, the most important thing, if I could emphasize anything to my listeners, is that if you have any doubts about cannabis, just start studying up a little bit about it. Start really looking at what it is, what it does, and why it's so important in our culture at this time. So that's why I chose that song, The Ones Who Have Come Before Us, because it really tells the story of the struggle of what people had gone through. Well, let's go back to a little bit of the event. A ballpark, it seemed like you had a pretty good crowd, and I'll tell you, one of the greatest things that we saw is we saw,
Arrested Development.
Yes, they were just absolute. I could have found a good song that would have matched today to play one of their records, because they were just fabulous. Can you just give us an idea of how many people, what the demographics were? Were there a lot of more young people? Were there older people? Was it a combination? We noticed a lot of people with color having businesses, and I know that was a big question mark when the medical started coming around. There was a big to-do about making sure that people of color got into the business. So talk a little bit about who came and what were some of the highlights for you.
Sure. So I'll speak more generally about our demographics and how they've changed. We're, of course, still calculating, who came, but it's obviously in the thousands. And diversity is key. The diversity of our demographics is, in the cannabis space in general, it's always been a diverse industry, right? But the age range is kind of unbelievable. It ranges from, you know, 21 and up past the 60s, men and women. And it depends on, of course, the music, I think, at the end of the day, in terms of other demographics. But, you know, we get thousands and thousands of people at these events. And it was wonderful.
Well, also, you had a contest. We were trying to hear, we were watching the stage, but I never quite caught. What was that contest all about? I think that there
were...
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course. So the namesake, Cannabis Cup, is, I like to call it the Academy Awards of the cannabis industry. And going back to what I mentioned earlier about Amsterdam, that's where it all began. That's where the contest began, so to speak. So the Cannabis Cup is why we're all there. We have the award show on Sunday that celebrates the best of the best in cannabis products, geographically, wherever you are. So in this case, we were in NorCal, where, of course, it all happens, the Emerald Triangle. You know, it's the heartbeat of cannabis and how it distributes into the other parts of the country. And so we have, I think we have around 17 categories now, ranging from flower, vape cartridges, hash, topicals, edibles, and now we have CBD, of course, as a category. And we have entries that come in around a month leading up to the event. Then we have a select group of judges who all are hand-chosen. Of course, they apply, and then they're hand-chosen to be judges. They then judge for 10 days. They judge their category. So say you're a CBD topical judge. You get a CBD topical judging kit, and you judge it 10 days leading up to the event using a proprietary scoring system that's digital. And then all those scores are tallied and averaged, and of course we also test all of our products. Testing is a big deal in the industry right now. And then we, of course, award first, second, and third place in all the 17 or 18, 19 categories. And it's a representative of the best of the best. And the reason it's so cool is because it changes every event. And every year we come back to a city we've been before. You know, new people win, small purveyors win, and then, of course, the people who have been doing it for a long time. So it's a celebration of the best of the best. And
well,
it's
you
been
know,
going on, like I said, for 30 years.
In listening to you and how you prepare for the contest, my goodness, that's a lot of work. I mean, I know I've been involved in trade shows and having contests, and boy, that is a lot of work. Well, who was the big winner?
Well, we have our winners online. There's too many to speak of here, but we have all of them listed at CannabisCup.com and on High Times social media. You'll also be able to see the photographs of the products as well.
Well, this is a good place to stop and to take a musical break. And when we come back, I know there's a real important project that you're very fond of, which is Women of Weed, and we're going to be talking about that. And I'm going to play a song, an old Bob Dylan song called The Times They Are A-Changing. I think it's appropriate to this time and sung by the Brothers and Sisters. And when we return, I will continue the conversation with Jackie Stang, Vice President of Programming at High Time Media. So here we go with The Times They Are Changing by Brothers and Sisters. Can you do?
That soon.
I'm going to add something to that. It's about time the times are changing. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And with me on the phone, I am proud to announce, is Jackie Stagg, who serves as the Vice President of Programming at High Times Media, also leading the charge on the mainstreaming of cannabis content with a particular focus on new media, and recently launched the High Times Women Council. Well, welcome back, Jackie. Welcome back to Women's Spaces.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to thank you so much for giving me the time, you know, and to go through this so thoroughly. It's really just a pleasure talking to you. Talk a little bit about the High Times Women's Council, and then you have a new, I found when I did all the information on you, a program called Women of Weed.
Yeah, so High Times, believe it or not, has a rich history and strong female leadership over the last 40 years, mostly behind the scenes. And there's, of course, so much happening with women in our culture right now and what some might call fourth wave feminism. And I took it upon myself to help use the High Times platform as an opportunity for women in the cannabis space to use their own voices. So the High Times Women's Council is my answer to that. It is a group of, you know, constantly rotating but strong, confident women who are entrepreneurs in the space, growers, CEOs, CFOs, you know, technology, the gamut. Just strong, powerful women who are doing their thing and trying to enact change for themselves and for the people around them in the cannabis space. So that's what the Women's Council is. And the High Times Women of Weed is really just, you know, it's a colloquialism for women in cannabis. And they're different, you know, we don't own the term Women of Weed, of course, but it is a way to illustrate that High Times is interested in women's issues, and we have things to say about it, and also are happy to use our voice and our wide-reaching voice to women who have very important and interesting and unique things to say.
Well, you know, one of the things that I personally feel why it's so important for women to be involved, because of the fact that many of us who choose to be mothers are aware of some of the issues around, like, say, epilepsy and some of the strong diseases that young children sometimes suffer from, and how helpful cannabis has been. So I think it's important that women get involved and women have a voice. And also, it's something for women to come out and say, yeah, you know, this is something we enjoy, this is something we know about. So do you think that is another component of having women involved, the fact that there's so much research being done around what is helping these children, especially children with AADA and all kinds of different issues?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's my personal opinion that women, mothers especially, are going to really tip the scales towards legalization, 100%. You know, women like that I grew up with that don't necessarily consume cannabis on a regular basis, but are interested in using it personally for relaxation, let's say, or to mend pain, or on their children, as you mentioned. And so absolutely, I think it's a budding market, of course. And there are new products coming out, especially for those types of consumers who, you know, are new to cannabis and kind of don't know where to start. There's things that are coming out that are dosable and make it extremely easy for you not to smoke, let's say, too much, but get just enough to feel relief for whatever ailment or predicament that you're using cannabis to relieve. So, absolutely.
Well, you know, there's a thing I just like your opinion on. I mean, maybe this wasn't included in the information, so this is kind of a little spontaneous answer.
That's
for you.
That's okay. I can take it.
The opinion that I'm looking for is, I know that, you know, the big emphasis was on Proposition 214 here in California, which was 215 here in California, which was for medical, to be used as medical marijuana. And my fear is as more and more of the bigger people come in and start taking over the industry, that the medical is going to be pushed aside. What is your thought on that?
Oh, that's another question, you know, that I could answer and it would take hours. we could spend days talking about that, and there are varying opinions, and people are very passionate about that very subject. So I think that cannabis is experiencing its particular journey towards, you know, let's call it re-legalization, because it wasn't always illegal, and there's the good and the bad with that, of course. So yes, there's big business, so to speak, coming in and maybe conglomerating some of the smaller entities in the cannabis world. And I don't, however, think that medical will get completely lost, because, again, we're in California. So we're here where it's recreational and we see the big business part of it, but it's still only medically legal in a lot of other states. And that's kind of obviously where it goes first. But having said that, you know, there's more government-funded studies about the medical use of psychedelics right now on people with things like PTSD or in hospice care than there are in cannabis. So the spotlight's on us, so to speak, from the federal side of things, but I think I have a positive outlook on it, and I think the more the free market emerges, the more new technologies are going to come out to meet certain genres of people, and, you know, so that's what I think.
So it's just something that we have to kind of just to wait to see what's happening.
It comes along, it's, you know, part of the process, and, you know, people aren't, you know, pain isn't going to go away. People with, you know, cancer, unfortunately, it seems, at least for now, isn't going to go away. Epilepsy isn't going to go away. So the demand for products and services around using cannabis to help these things, you know, that's only going to increase as the demand increases. So I have a positive outlook on it. And again, at the end of the day, it's about education, right? So it behooves High Times and other media entities to really keep educating people on, you know, the recreational side, but also the medicinal side.
Well, that brings me to another question that you had. When I you know, I just want to tell my listeners, what I do is I try to have my guests send me 5 questions so I know what they're passionate about, and it helps them, it helps me to have a little bit better understanding. And you said something that's so interesting. You said, you made this statement, time's up in the cannabis, too. So talk about what you mean by time's up.
Well, time's up meaning, of course, the hashtag that floating around the internet these days, and the movement of female empowerment, and as I mentioned earlier, how the cannabis industry is going to address that. And again, this is also a really nuanced, complicated issue, and there aren't, of course, a lot of concrete studies happening right now to really metric out, you know, how women actually are weighed in the cannabis space in terms of their executive positions, and also in things like time's up, you know, sexual harassment. So it's all anecdotal evidence and people talking. But, you know, it's an industry just like any other industry. At the end of the day, we're all people, cannabis aside, working in very similar situations as anyone else works in another industry in America. And, you know, we face the same, women face the same challenges in the cannabis industry that they do elsewhere. And so it's, you know, it's something I'm very passionate about, and we don't have a concrete position necessarily at High Times, but again, what's important to us is using our wide reach, you know, having the widest reach of any media brand in the cannabis space to allow the truth of what's happening with women and women in cannabis emerge. using our platform.
Well, you know, that's interesting. We're coming to the end of the segment, and I really want to thank you so much for going through all the cannabis issues and talking about High Times. But now I'm going to ask you our last question, because this is kind of a personal one that you wrote to me. You said you have some thoughts on the collective versus the me, how women can help women change the patriarchal paradigm. What do you mean, and what are some of your suggestions? After all, this is women's spaces.
Yeah. So it's a topic close to my heart, obviously, and something that I've been, let's say, researching in the space for about 2 years, talking to, you know, hundreds of women and experiencing what's happening. And it's, I think we have the challenges that women face are ourselves at the end of the day, because, you know, in order to come together really and enact change and, let's say, change the patriarchal paradigm, we have to really support one another. And that isn't necessarily in the human nature, right? You know, not all men like each other and not all women necessarily get along. And so it's a question I bring up a lot, you know, is it all or the me? And I think if women could find space to focus on themselves and their own voice and what they want to say, predominantly, that would then collectively, I think, turn into something super positive and extremely powerful in shifting the paradigm, as opposed to, like, you know, focusing on things that are, you know, competition and women around them and what they're doing and the ego and all of that. So, you know, it remains to be seen. We have a long way to go, but that's sort of what I mean by that. Hopefully that answers your question.
Well, also, you know, it's important for women to stand up for themselves and not to be so influenced by, say, the patriarchy that's going on around them, to recognize that they do have a very important role in the culture. They provide the future. You know, how much more powerful can you be than to provide the future?
We are superheroes. We make humans, and to that, only female cannabis plants produce product. So we have a huge opportunity, and I agree with you. We need to stand up for ourselves, and I think that, you know, that's a lot of mentorship and maybe more experienced women teaching that to younger women.
Well, Jackie, I want to tell you that I really appreciated this interview. I mean, you are so articulate and you have so much information to give us. So now that we're coming to the end of this segment, there's several things I'd like you to do. Is number one, give your website and any last thoughts that you might have, any last message. And then I'm also going to ask you to stay on the phone, because I'm going to play a very important song by a woman, Ellen Burksdale, called Who's the Pusher Now, that I really want you to listen to, because this woman really put together a beautiful, beautiful song, and it really describes what we have gone through over the past, like you're saying, 43 years. So any last thoughts, and then also your website and anything else that you care to say, any new festivals coming up in the future, anything that you'd like to share.
Thank you so much. This is lovely. Of course, you can find everything we do at hightimes.com. I have a very special the first ever High Times Women of Weed magazine issue. It will be on stands in September. It will be the November issue, so please, that will be very unique. I would love for all of you to go check that out. You can listen to thought leaders and get sort of an all-access pass to a lot of what we're doing behind the scenes on my podcast called Green Room, High Times Green Room, of course, found on iTunes and everywhere else podcasts can be found. We are doing so much, so really just check out hightimes.com or cannabiscup.com for more information. And I would just leave you with thank you for all of you who have been helping us destigmatize cannabis, and thank you for what you're doing, and that's pretty much it.
Well, thank you again, Jackie. This has been wonderful. Folks, we've been listening to Jackie Stagg, who serves as the Vice President of Programming at High Times Media. And now we're going to have a special treat. We're going to listen to Ellen Burksdale's song, Who's the Pusher Now? And then when we come back, we will have a few announcements.
Background 1935, depression, riding high, people trying to have some fun, smoking dope, and opium. Government did what they do best, making a mess, made a crime that's victimless, criminalizing cannabis. And the big drug money machine sells oxy and morphine, legal drugs get us hooked, a million deaths. Who's the pusher now? Follow the corporate money trail while decent people rot in jail. Guarantee full occupancy for private prison industry. Caught up in a living hell with a couple of million prison cells and government hypocrisy. Now. The war on drugs, a political joke, locking us up for smoking dope. No reason for doing time with a punishment when there ain't no crime. Cartels are running beer. Prohibition made it clear when you turn a market black, it's hard to turn it back. The government gets behind the gun. The IRS is never done. Our taxes pay the FDA so the DEA can put us away in the government drug money machine. Runs like it's on Dexedrine. Politicians legislate so they can mass incarcerate. Who's the pusher now?
Well, boy, I love that song. Who's the Pusher Now by Ellen Bookstale. Well, that's it for our show, folks. A special thank you to Jackie Stagg, Vice President of Programming at High Times Media. Jackie Stagg serves as the Vice President of Programming at High Times Media, leading the charge on the mainstreaming of cannabis content with a particular focus on new media, and recently launched the High Times Women Console. A reminder, please tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 o'clock this evening. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any announcements you'd like to have on the air, like birthdays or anniversaries, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. Remind folks about what's happening here at KBBF, that you can become a sustainer by going on to our website, www.kbbf.org, and find out all that information. And remember also that our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And you know, just in line of what Jackie Stagg had to say about women and their role in the cannabis industry, and also her own personal belief about women having to come forward, I want to just read a real quick line from my I Am Women, I Am All Women poem that's on my website. I am women. I am all women. I go beyond color, religion, country, or political party. I am women. I am all women. And in my womb, since the beginning of humankind, I have provided a space for the children of the earth to grow and develop. Through my pain, a child is born. Through my body and nurturing, those born of me have survived. I am woman. I am all women. And I am tired. And you can fill in the rest that you are tired. Remember, you can listen to Women's Spaces tonight at 11 p.m. on KBBF 89.1 FM. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. A special thank you to all my fans and listeners out there. And to remind you, once again, the children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. You know, what I mean by that is that we have to do everything that we can to have peace on earth, goodwill, and good food and good sustainability for our children and their future. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
She knows everything you do because the woman in your